Tony Wellington, well-known personality around Noosa, of course, ex-mayor of Noosa Shire going back a couple of years, but he's got a book out called Freak Out, which freaked me out when it turned up on my desk because, let's face it, when a book called Freak Out turns up, you think, where the hell's it heading down? But very impressed, Tony Wellington. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks very much. Nice to chat with you.
It's lovely to have you on. Look, Bilko's a fanboying a little bit over you, Tony.
Am I?
You have to forgive me because I've just moved up here this year, so I'm just learning the who's who of what. And, look, if you don't mind, I appreciate that it's the first time we've spoken, but I really want to have a full go at you because I'm reading about all of the things you've done. You're an author, a photographer, politician, freelance writer, artist, filmmaker, lecturer, musician and social commentator. Honestly, you just put the rest of us to shame. Okay, so if you don't mind just calming down on the talent.
I see myself as a moving target, if that makes it seem any more palatable.
No, honestly, Tony, wow, you have some serious talent. I've just been looking at your paintings on your website. Amazing. But we're not here to talk about them today, are we, Bill?
No, we're not. We're here to talk
about
the book. And I just want to say before we get into that, I've never had a chance to publicly say thank you, Tony, for getting us through the Phrygian fires as mayor in 2019. Very, very, very big job. But we've come out on the other side, which is most important. Thanks. Now, tell us about, look, Freak Out, Music and Politics in Australia. I've never seen a book that welds how music sort of is part of the social fabric along with the Australian politics at the time. I mean, well-researched, well-written. Why a book like this, mate?
Oh, well, I mean, the 60s was a formative time for me, and I wanted to better understand the era, but in particular, the incredible power of the music during that time and how the music developed. And why that music still has currency today, in fact.
Well, you've actually, on the back of your book, you say the 60s was an era of extraordinary change and earth-shattering events, and the music scene responded with popular anthems that reverberated across the planet. What were some of those popular anthems, Tony?
Oh, I mean, they range from Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind to Sam Cooke's The Change Is Gonna Come. You had songs like the Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Yep.
And The Who's My Generation, which was the first really powerful song to demonstrate that young people saw themselves as entirely separate from the rest of society. It had that classic line, I hope I die before I get old, you know?
You know, the thing about that music too is that at the time there'd be nothing like it. Teenagers weren't seen as a subset from adults. I mean, for years we'd come through that era where kids and teenagers were seen as, you know, really adults on a mini level, but suddenly marketers were realising there's money there, there's a whole culture, and they're finding their own voice, and this is where it sort of came to the fore in that era.
That's right, absolutely. There was a thing called elastic adolescence, where the notion of youth got expanded well into the 20s, which had never happened before. And in part, that was because we were also expanding education at the time. Just out of interest, between 1960 and 1965, because of the growth of universities in Australia, the number of university students here doubled in 5 years, you know. So that combined with what's considered to be capitalism's golden age, where the middle class expanded, and that again combined with the fact that the baby boomers suddenly increased the number of young people as percentage of the population.
Now, busy breeding, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, Tony, you speak about in the book how the music spoke to young people of that era and sort of urged them to separate from mainstream society. Did you go through that yourself?
Oh, I think very much so. It would be hard not to grow up through that era and not be infected, in fact, by the idealism of the hippie movement in particular. But youth generally saw itself as entirely separate from the rest of society and was so arrogant enough in a way to think that they could restructure the world from their own perspective.
Tony,
you know?
it was a very exciting
time.
Tony, would you say music was the social media of its time?
I think so, particularly for young people, because it was being shared across continents and it was the music, the hit songs back then were much more universal, more ubiquitous than they are now. You know, when the Beatles put out Sgt. Pepper's, if you're a teenager or a 20-something, there's no way in the world you wouldn't have listened to it, you know?
Tony, do you think we of today owe a lot to that era for a lot of great change?
Look, all the major movements that are still going on now began in the 60s. You've got the women's movement, you've got, black rights, the environmental movement, gay rights, all of that began in the 60s.
Yeah, that's what amazes me is you look at just these songs, look at the content of some of these songs. Nina Simone, probably legendary for, you know, her politics, and, you know, she didn't get much radio airplay back in the day, but those songs are now finding a voice now with people who are using it as anthems for their causes, which I love. I mean, as you mentioned, the Who's My Generation, I mean, using that special phrase, you can all just fade away, straight away adults will be thinking, what are they about to say? I mean, the phrasing of lyrics and how do you, and nuclear war was a big part of your life back then, wasn't it, as a kid?
Well, I think it impacted on all of us boomers in a way because on the one hand, you know, there was more money to spend, more freedom, contraceptives and all of that, you know, made life a whole lot more hedonistic. But at the same time, we were all afeared that the world could end any second thanks to nuclear warfare and the Cold War. So that developed a really particular mindset, I think, an appetite for living in the moment, if you like, which is why boomers... Yes. Like myself, are still a bit hedonistic.
That's such a good point, I can't imagine. I mean, you guys went through that constant threat of nuclear annihilation. I honestly can't even imagine what that would be like. And as you said, yeah, it must have made everyone just like, come on, let's get this on. Who knows how long we've got?
You know, Ali, there's a great song you should listen to, Zagar and Evans in the Year 2525. Have a listen to the lyrics on that one, or even Barry Maguire's Eve of Destruction. I mean, they are songs that still stand out from the era now, just give you the feeling of where the world was, Tony. I mean, I was never going through that era. I remember the 80s when Gaddafi and that were about and, you know, worried about nuclear war then. But when I hear some of those songs now, they still strike, they still move me like they probably still move you, Tony.
Oh, absolutely. And Eve of Destruction was a real breakthrough song because that sort of nihilism, you know, that kind of pessimism had never been played on Top 40 radio before. And yet it was zeitgeist, you know, it was exactly what people were feeling.
Yeah, I wish you didn't mention Richard MacArthur's, was it MacArthur Park, Richard Harris? That's a crap song. Goes for about 10 minutes.
I don't speak of it politely, though.
No, you
don't. I do refer to it as a dud song.
Well, Tony Wellington, honestly, you're such a talented person and we're so grateful to speak to you today. And honestly, Bilko has been praising this book to me for ever since he got it.
He's
been
so
excited. Yeah. So get amongst it, everyone. It's called Freak Out by Tony Wellington, How a Musical Revolution Rocked the World in the 60s. We thank you for your time today, Tony.
Thank you so much, Dan.